It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shop Podcast, episode 218. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Matt and I get together to discuss the ups and downs with the BYU men's basketball team and what last week means for March. Before that, we discuss Gary Croton's new job, Big 12 expansion, and we talk NFL playoffs. We finish off the podcast by playing America's favorite game, Answering Machine. This is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Find us on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, what is going on?
Just another week in the wide world of BYU sports.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week in BYU sports, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But Matt, it was also a crazy week in the NFL, the National Football League, as it is called by some people.
Or the league.
Yes, or the league, which I find kind of... Yeah, the No Fun League. That's probably more appropriate. Though this weekend was a lot of fun. There was no assistant coaches, drawing flags that decided a playoff game.
I feel like that's a positive step. That's progress.
Well, I will tell you this. The Steelers were on very good behavior in the game against the Broncos. They did not cross any lines, which you and I were clear last week, right? It was last week, yeah, when we talked about it. Joey Porter should be banned from the playoffs, the rest of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so Matt, all...
Well, he kind of has been banned from the rest of the playoffs.
Yes, he has now. The Broncos banned him. He got beat by he and his defense got beat by the ghost of Peyton Manning. So Matt, all of these games were close and within doubt in the fourth quarter. But I want to focus on one game very quickly here. The Panthers and the Seahawks.
Wow.
Did that change the way you look at the Panthers, or do you just think the Seahawks were way too good to be blown out like that and it just kind of righted itself?
I think I've said this on here before. The Panthers may be the best team in the NFL.
Yes.
And I felt that way before this game, and I definitely feel that way now.
Yeah, yeah. But what a comeback by the Seahawks, huh?
Yeah, and people get into that like, well, you know, they let them get back into it. But when you get up by 30 points... And I'm gonna try and not draw all the parallels to the BYU Utah game because that was all over Twitter. But when you get up by 30 points in the first half, you play the second half differently than you would have had it been a close game.
Yeah.
So it's not really. I don't think it's really legitimate to say, well, you know, they let them climb back in it. They couldn't. You know, if you'd make unless you make the decision to step on their throat, which is what you should do. You get a little more conservative and some other things, and
this is what I'll say about it. I agree with you, and I think the Panthers are the best team, and I think they'll win the Super Bowl. We'll get to that in a second.
Blasphemy! You just said.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second. But here's what I have to say: if Bruce Arians or Bill Belichick coached the Panthers, they would have won by 40.
They would have driven him into the ground.
Yes. I mean, Arians, I loved it. I don't know if you saw his press conference after the Packers-Cardinals game, but some reporters asked him if, you know, when they threw the ball, when they could have been running clock and gave time for the Packers to come back and, of course, do their Hail Mary. Basically, his whole answer was, number one, I would make the same decision again to throw the ball. If we execute, game's over, right? All we need is a first down or more points and the game's over. Second of all, is he said, I don't shy away from maybe losing to a or getting tied by a Hail Mary. He said, those don't happen that often. So I don't work that into my strategy that much.
Right, which is sensible.
Which is sensible. I'm all for the aggressive stuff, man. I know... Collinsworth was all over him for that. Would you have thrown the ball in that situation, or would you have just run it up the gut?
Oh, you go after it. Go get him.
Yeah, your two best players on offense, especially that night, were Fitzgerald and Palmer. I put it in the hands when, you know, if you have Adrian Peterson back there or, you know, some great running back in their prime, I might feel differently. But if your two best players are quarterback and wide receiver, Like, on the same play, I would say Brady and Gronk need to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, so...
No, you know what I'd do is I'd line up J.J. Watt in the backfield. No, wait a minute. I wouldn't do that because that's stupid.
Yeah, let's put a player who's never out there. That makes sense. Well, but he's really good and he does awesome commercials.
He does do some good commercials. The local grocery store commercials he does here.
Oh, I haven't seen those. Are they good?
Oh, they're pretty good. There's one where he's wearing a toga eating Greek yogurt. The concept is that the guy who owns this grocery store chain and J.J. Watt are next door neighbors. So he like pokes. So they're talking to each other over the fence, and they come over to each other's houses. Anyway, nice. There's a whole series of them. They're pretty funny.
I can tell you the worst one is the Papa John's, where it's clear that Papa
none
John,
of them were ever in the same room.
Yes. And you, Joe Montana, just stop making commercials, man.
Well, the funny thing about just that commercial stop. Is they all kind of look lost. But Joe Montana, as a character in that commercial, is supposed to look lost. So he's the only character in there that actually makes any sense. The rest of them are look really cartoony. None of them are looking in the same direction. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah. It's a mess. Terrible. That commercial.
And it took
terrible.
Me two or three times to figure out what was going on. Like, why does Joe Montana have all those quarters in all those pockets? That's just weird.
It's a dumb commercial. So, Matt... obviously, this Sunday will be the conference championships, Cardinals and Panthers, the game that everybody wanted, the de facto Super Bowl, as I think those are the two best teams in the league. And then the Patriots and the Broncos, led by the ghost, as I mentioned before, of Peyton Manning, who looked terrible. Absolutely, he looked terrible until then. He made a few plays, but man, that is not Peyton Manning back there. Matt, who you got in the NFC? Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, is there really any question here?
I don't know.
You got to stick with the hot hand here.
I don't know. The Cardinals are pretty good. But I'm going to go. The line in that game is, where is it? I don't see it. You see a line for this game?
I got to start pulling up the lines because I've counted on you in the past to have the lines.
Well,
up.
You shouldn't count on me. Why are you
apparently
counting on
not?
Me?
Apparently not. You've let me down.
The line is. Panthers by 3. I am going to take the Panthers and the points. I think they win by more than 3. But I think it's close.
It's not closer than 3, though. I'll take the points.
It is not closer than 3. Matt, in the AFC, of course, the first game of the day is our New England Patriots. And I use the Royal Hour. And the Broncos. I do have to say this. I've got a lot of Bronco fans that I have muted. Because if all you can say the week up to a conference championship game is that the other team is cheaters, I'm not very impressed by your creativity. If that's all you got.
The cheater stuff is so stupid.
Yeah, and it's old. We get it. Everybody in the league thinks we're cheaters, blah, blah, blah. Count the rings. No, seriously, though, the Broncos defense is pretty scary. I still think the Patriots win, but... The Broncos' defense, I don't think the Broncos are going to score a lot of points. I do think without a running game, it will be difficult to score points for the Patriots. The defense is legit by the Broncos. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking the Patriots, and it's also a 3-point line. I'm taking the Patriots and the points. I think they win a close one.
I think that the Pats will win.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots in the points, even with their properly inflated footballs.
Yes.
Because clearly that's been the advantage low these many years.
Yes, it has clearly been what has made the difference for the Patriots. I will say this, that the Broncos are, I think they made the right decision to use Peyton Manning because Brock Osweiler's no good. Right? I mean,
yeah, he's definitely not the quarterback of the future. And what you want to do, if you're the Broncos, you don't want to put him back out on the field. His stock's never going to be higher than it is right now.
Oh,
and
no.
You might be able to get some value for him.
Yeah, yeah. You'd try to trade him in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The Patriots have done that with several guys or have let them walk and sign for money. It's great. Trade him while they're hot.
Never let him see. Don't let him see the field again. I mean, if Peyton goes down in a crumpled up heap, I think you got to put somebody else under center. just because if Osweiler goes out there and blows it, he's worth nothing.
All right, well, let's move on from the NFL playoffs, Matt, to what we talk about on this podcast mostly, which is BYU. And so it's time for the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, Matt, in a weekend of, let's just say it, this sports weekend this past weekend for BYU stunk, okay?
It just stunk. Not enjoyable.
And it started, it all started to fall apart. Men's volleyball Friday night loses to Stanford, the hated tree. They come back and rebound, but they have now dropped to 3 in the polls, and they are on the road against number 2 Long Beach State this weekend. So hopefully they can right the ship. That was unfortunate. I don't think Stanford, maybe they'll turn out to be one of the elite teams. I did not think they were, so that was a disappointing weekend there. Former BYU golfer Zach Blair almost won the Sony Open. He was very, very close and is really starting to play really well on the PGA Tour. So watch out for Zach Blair, world.
So do you get into golf? I mean, I don't watch a lot of golf. I play golf a few times a year, mostly for work-related events. I really like Topgolf. But I understand that's not really the same thing.
No, I also enjoy Topgolf. And I enjoy golfing, but watching
I like to golf. I just don't, yeah, anyway. But I don't watch a lot of golf on television. Do I have to start watching now? Is Zach Blair, like,
If he's in it for the Masters, you know, in a little while, in the second, on the third or fourth day, yeah. I'll probably pay attention a little bit more than I would. But whatever I turn on golf, I end up falling asleep, which is not always a bad result. Let's be honest. I mean,
that's true.
I have 4 kids taking a nap during the middle of the day.
You got to get it where you can.
Yeah, it's the day of rest, man. It's the day of rest.
Day of rest.
Gary Croton was named offensive coordinator at Stephen F. Austin, former BYU head coach, of course. Matt, Gary Croton at one point was talked up as a potential NFL head coach. Of course, was an NFL offensive coordinator. Also, offensive coordinator even after BYU at what LSU, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this just the coaching carousel, or is this just a story of a guy that stock was as high as it could be and that has kind of fallen, I mean, to the basement, really? I mean, nothing against Stephen F. Austin, but, I mean, this guy was being talked as an NFL head coach or one of the offensive, at the time, people were throwing around the word genius a lot. I think it was overstated at the time, but, man, that's a long fall, isn't it?
Yeah, and the word genius probably still an overstatement, you know. And I don't want to say anything negative about Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin University, but you see what I did there?
Yeah, Stone I did. Cold. I can't believe they've named a university after him already.
I'm sure that's it.
Yes.
But one of the pieces that I thought was interesting here is that the head coach at Stephen F. Austin was a coordinator for Croton at Louisiana Tech.
Oh.
So it's like the student has become the master. It's like Luke Skywalker hiring Yoda to be his offensive coordinator.
I love the analogy. Thank you.
You like that?
Yeah, that
you
was
like
good. That was good. That's the way.
But
to,
you know what? I
geek
think
out,
it,
buddy.
But when you look at it, like Croton is a coach. That's it. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's always been. He's gonna, you know. So for him, he's gonna bounce around to wherever the opportunities are and kind of what comes up and go there. That's what coaches do. You know, and if you get to a point early in your career where the coaching doesn't really work out, I think it's easier to make a transition into something else. You know, if you look at some of these other guys, maybe get a coordinator job, like their first job doesn't work out and they got to kind of move on. But with a guy like Croton, he got to the point where what was he going to go do? I mean, can you imagine him as like a TV analyst?
No.
Yikes.
No.
Right?
No, I mean,
I don't know what you go do if you're Gary Croton.
This is what you do. It's just it's strange. The coaching thing is strange, right? Because you can be. I mean, look at some former Patriots. I mean, look at Weiss, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, he's the offensive coordinator. He's supposed to be a genius. Gets hired at Notre Dame, right? And it's a disaster. Then he goes to Kansas, not any better. You know what I mean? And now where is he now? You know what I
mean?
I don't
know, but he just finished collecting Notre Dame checks.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird profession, right? Because you can go from top to bottom very fast. And that's true, probably not unique to football coaching, but it's certainly interesting to watch. Good luck to Gary Croton. No ill will from either of us, I don't believe.
No.
Jimmer continues to dominate the developmental league. He is averaging, here's his stat line. I had it. 22.5 points. He's shooting 50% from the floor, 49%, 41.2% from three, also 5.3 assists, 4.2 rebounds, 1.8 steals. I mean, this is like his numbers from college, Matt. So do you still care? And I still don't.
Yeah, but you know what? It's becoming less and less interesting to me.
As he piles up stats but doesn't get invited to the NBA.
Yeah,
Okay.
because that's what this is for, right? And if without that payoff, it's hard to get super excited about it.
That is factually correct. Matt, there was a report out of Virginia about basically, it's not a report. It's a guy covering the UVA football team who really wants Taysom Hill to come play for UVA. Matt, percent chance Taysom Hill plays for the University of Virginia.
You know, I don't even, I feel like I just don't even know anymore. You know, I.
Oh, I think it's still tiny low.
Really?
Yeah, why is it higher now?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he have said he's transferring already?
I don't know. But this whole situation is so bizarre. We don't know that he isn't leaving.
Matt, we don't even know if he's playing football. I mean, one of the things that hangs out there, and John Beck was on our show a couple months ago, and we talked to him about it. I mean, one of the things is we're all assuming he comes back. He could walk, right? I mean, he's
Yep.
got a bright future ahead of him if it's not football. If he's just tired of, I'm tired of this rehabbing. I don't want to have to earn my job back. If they want me to earn the job back, I don't really want to go to a different school and kind of pretend that I'm a graduate student so that I can play at UVA or Michigan or wherever else that somebody might want him to come play for him. I mean, I'm not saying that's the likely scenario, but it's certainly greater than 0% chance that he just walks away, right?
Is a greater chance that he walks away than goes to Virginia?
Yes.
No,
Yes.
I don't
Oh,
think so.
yes. I don't think there's. I think the chance he goes to Virginia is tiny. Why? The
I think
team's going to be
it's
terrible.
just as good as the chance that he walks away.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, you go to Virginia, you're playing on a bad team. Your chances of getting hurt as a quarterback on a bad team are way higher than they are on a good team, right? You're behind, I just no, I don't. I mean, I get he knows the coaching staff and the system, but to start over on a team that, I mean, they're not even likely to contend in the ACC, right? Why?
Right.
Like, what's the allure of doing that? To raise your NFL stock? I don't know. I mean, right now he would have to have a heck of a season to, I think, even ever get drafted in the NFL, right?
But you know, I think it goes back to this point of he's got his entire life to do something other than football. So I'd
Oh, I
say
agree.
wherever you feel like you've got a shot, you take it.
Yes, I
So
agree. And that was.
I think the least From that perspective, I would think that the least likely option is that he just walks away. I think that before you walk away from the game, if you look at the BYU situation and you say, I don't want to fight for my job, maybe I don't like the new coaches or whatever it is. I don't like Tanner Mangum because he's just too nice, whatever it
I don't like
is.
Ty Detmer because he knows too much.
Yeah, he won a Heisman and I don't have one. I mean, whatever the thing is, right? And maybe he just says the BYU thing isn't going to work. So then he starts looking at other options. I think transferring to a school where he knows the coaches, knows the system, where they're going to put him in, he's going to get some playing time. He'd be in a conference where there may or may not, the exposure comparison is arguable,
I'd
but
say less, but
right. So you go out there and maybe have an opportunity to do something. I think you take that chance before you just walk away from the game. Because once you walk away, it's over. You're done.
yeah, but I guess we're looking at it differently. I think if he decides to come back, I'm just saying, say there's a 5% chance he walks. I don't think there's a greater than 5% chance he goes to UVA. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I'm saying if he decides to come back, it's going to be BYU or a program, a bigger program than UVA, a more successful established program that needs a quarterback. I just UVA to me is like I get everyone says, well, it's the coaching staff. But what other check mark does it have besides the coaches are there? I mean, none, right?
Yeah, you could argue that it's got a Power 5 conference check mark, but I don't know that they're going to be really competitive in that conference, right?
Yeah, so you get
it may
killed.
Not be really help, may
and,
not be helpful.
And it's the weakest Power 5 conference, right? Like, it's not – if this was an SEC school, if they had gone to SEC, maybe. But to me, like, the NFL's not going to care. The schedule BYU is playing is better than Virginia's schedule. He's going to play against better players if he stays at BYU and to showcase it, if that's what he wants to do. But whatever, we don't really know. And right now, I don't see anybody even saying when we'll know, right?
I don't think anybody really knows. I don't think anybody knows.
Well, maybe Taysom. Maybe Taysom knows. Maybe Ty knows now. Maybe him and Ty Detmer have sat down and had
Taysom
a chat.
Taysom may know. Sister Hill, I bet. If he knows, Sister Hill knows.
Yes, I would say that is fair. Matt, Kalani Sitake made some additions to his coaching staff since we last recorded. We're recording on Tuesday night, by the way. Steve Kaufusi remains as the defensive line coach. Mike Impey is offensive line coach. And Nuu Tafisi as the strength and conditioning coach. The staff is not completely settled, Matt, but it's pretty darn close. We're not going to spend much time today. We'll talk more about some of that stuff later. Before we get on to basketball, Matt, the vote that we've been talking about for the last few weeks of the NCAA went the Big 12's way. They can, as I understand it, have a conference championship game, but they have to split into divisions, right? Is that how I understood it?
The way I think it went is that if they want to do it, they do have to split into divisions, but they can be two kind of small divisions.
Right. The two but 5
that,
teams
that don't mean
that
anything.
Make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Right.
To
right.
Have.
That actually probably make it even more lame.
Yes. Yes. As if the Big 12 could not get lamer, they with some of their decisions. Now, that being said, the thing that I find interesting is after all of this has been said, David Boren, the University of Oklahoma president, says he wants conference expansion. He wants 12 guys. I also think he is still annoyed, as is a lot of the league, about letting the Texas have their own network and not putting together a Big 12 network.
Yes.
So all those things together, Matt, does this really change BYU's situation very much?
No, I don't think they had. I don't think the odds were really good before, and I don't know that this makes them any better. I think really what the most likely scenario here is possible shot. Oklahoma's out.
It's time to change.
A little nervous about conference expansion.
I think the time this vote, had it gone against them, might have moved up the conference expansion timeline. Maybe. Now I think we're still a few years away from when the TV contracts are getting close to being done. If I am a fan of a Big 12 team not called Texas or Oklahoma, I am annoyed at the lack of expansion. Because I think adding BYU and another good football program makes sure if Bourne really wants that to happen, you just do it, right? You just do it. Like if one of those you gave Texas the Longhorn Network and let them do that, now you got to capitulate to Oklahoma, right? If they want to do this, doesn't the rest of the schools? I mean, you don't have to do everything they ask, but. I mean, doesn't it make sense? Yeah, you're going to divide up the pie a little bit, but isn't it better than no pie in 4 years?
Yeah, and so the question is this, you know, is that a death knell I hear? Whom does that bell toll? It tolls for the Big 12.
Well, if I'm like Iowa State, Kansas State, I am saying expand. Like, we get that we're going to lose a little bit per school in the short term, but man, this is just bizarre to me, Matt. I just look at the decisions being made by the Big 12 leadership. And I'm not talking about adding BYU. You could add two schools not named BYU. I think BYU is the best candidate personally, but I might be a little biased there. But man, the decisions they're making, like, are you really going to do two divisions in a 10-team league?
the two divisions in a 10-team league is as dumb as choosing the slogan "One True Champion."
Yes, and then having right? two champions.
Yeah, I mean this. It's a comedy of errors, is what this has become.
Yes.
And so the way I see this heading is just as I think you've described it previously. We get to this next round, the chairs start to shuffle a little bit, and their big players are going to bolt.
Yeah, they got to be they got to be real careful, and we'll get back to that on another day. Some of the scenarios that could play out if that happens, Matt. Before we leave the conference expansion talk, we have our first tweet bag question of the day.
Tweet bag.
Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He points us to Cougar Board, Matt. Now, you and I are usually, we do not go to Cougar Board to bring out stuff. But he linked to something that is, I think, very interesting. A poster there, which actually may be him. I don't know. Is he Nashty on Cougar Board?
I have no idea.
So he'll let us know. So he
Nashty, really? Like Nashty? Like, oh, that's Nashty.
Yeah, but it's got Steve Nash. Nashty. There's a picture of Steve Nash. Anyway, BYU is closer, according to Google Maps, which those aren't always accurate, but I'm going to trust them here, to closer than West Virginia to every single Big 12 town except for Iowa State and Kansas. All of this travel stuff to me is I am with Justin and Nashty, and I believe all of this kind of started with let me see here.
I think Justin and Nashty might be the same person. I've never seen them in the same room together.
That's true. I haven't either. Jason Shepherd at KSL of KSL fame also had mentioned this. I agree. I don't think the travel thing is an issue. I really don't.
Isn't it interesting when we get into situations like this, everybody wants to talk about the stuff that's not really the issue instead of just talking about the issue?
The issue is money.
The issue here is it's all about money.
Yes, and 10 teams not wanting to divide up the same pie 12 ways.
Except some of those 10 teams do want to divide up the pie.
Yes.
Which is what makes this tricky. But apparently it's not the right ones. And if it's not Oklahoma, right, I think Texas has got to look at this and think, you know what? If the Big 12 is no longer viable and we've got to bail, we're going to lose the Longhorn Network.
Yes.
You know, maybe they, and maybe they don't care about that. But
I don't know if they care.
But I feel like they would want – and if they don't, then give it up and they ought to be pushing for a Big 12 network.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately for them, the ship might have sailed on that. You know, ESPN was the one handing a lot of those things out, and right now ESPN's financials don't look so great. But your point is spot on, Matt, which I don't usually say, but I'm going to be nice.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm here for you. That's what brothers do. The point is, this is about money. It's not about geography. It really isn't. A travel partner, when people say, well, you know, they'd want a travel partner for West Virginia. This is all done for football, by football, and there's no such thing as a travel partner in football.
What is this, Toy Story? Everybody's got to get a buddy for the move? That's not how this works.
It's
about money. It's all about money.
It is all about money. And, I mean, look at Rutgers and Maryland joining the Big Ten. You know what I mean? It's not about geography.
And if it's about money, I'm not sold that that was the right decision. But
well, they thought they would bring more money. I'm not saying they always do the right thing. So, Matt, let's head on to talk about basketball.
Hoops.
Last Thursday, from zero to Detmer, how excited were you about this team when they took down Gonzaga in Spokane?
Oh, it was Detmer.
Detmer level and excited, right?
I was throwing stuff. I was sitting here in the office, the home office here, watching the game. I was throwing stuff around. I was yelling and screaming. That was awesome. We were headed to the Final Four.
I have this actually legitimate thought, Matt. College basketball is crazy this year. There are probably no elite teams based on everybody keeps losing, right?
Right.
You look at that and I said, this could be a year where BYU could make a deep run in the tournament. Now, you said Final Four. I didn't think Final Four, but I thought, this is a year you could get to the Sweet 16. If you have a decent enough team and they peak at the right time, I'm thinking this team could do it. If they're finally learning how to play defense on the road, this could be it.
Yeah.
And then Portland happened.
See, this team just keeps sucking me back in and then punching me in the mouth.
Just punched
sucking
you right in the
back
mouth.
In. It's just a shot to the gut.
So, Matt, did this weekend hurt, help, or not change their tournament chances?
I think, but by the time you factor both these games in, I think they're about where they were before.
That just is the incorrect answer.
Just look, this is the way I look at it. If I look at their resume to date.
Yes, to date.
I think they're in the same spot that they were a week ago. Now, I do believe that Gonzaga win, that tells me that this is a team that is getting better. And we'll see. I think that I feel better about the rematch with Gonzaga. I feel better about a St. Mary's game. I feel better about a conference tournament on a neutral site after watching them win that game. But if I evaluate it strictly in terms of what they've done to date, I don't feel any differently about their tourney chances today as I did a week ago.
Oh, see, I think you're being a little too pessimistic, my friend. I think it changes significantly. This is their worst loss. Portland, I believe. It is their worst loss because Long Beach State turns out to be not as bad as we thought at the beginning of the year, though that's not a good loss either. But now they finally have a marquee win. All they had before were good losses, right? That's all they had. There is no marquee win before Gonzaga, right? I mean, right. The best team you had beat before that was, let me look through here as far as ratings are concerned. Your best one had been, let's see, New Mexico, probably?
Yeah, probably.
And I don't know that they're even a top 100 team, right? Now you've got a win against a legitimate, you know, top 40 team. So that's why I think it's changed. That being said, I think they need to, if they don't win the conference tournament, which of course gets you in no matter what, they've got to beat Gonzaga and St. Mary's. They got to have both those games and not drop another game. Then I think they're in. They hit those 25 wins and add two more quality wins, I think they get in. If they split and don't lose, they are going to be just sitting there hoping that a bunch of spots don't get taken in weird ways at the end. Do you agree with me?
I'm not quite there. And, you know, I'm still a little bit nervous that there's going to be one more of these one-off conference games that becomes a problem.
Well,
I think they've got to go. They've got to go. I don't know. They might need to get to the finals or win the conference tournament, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they have to win it if they win out. Now, winning out is not actually that likely, though, right? They do only have three more road conference games left at San Francisco, at Santa Clara, and then that weird week where they play San Diego at San Diego on Thursday and then play them in Provo on Saturday. I don't think they drop any of those road games. I think they went out. I really do. I mean, this weekend, we'll get to this here in a second, I think Pepperdine is the most dangerous game Saturday that they have left, not called St. Mary's or Gonzaga.
Right, and you look at this is another two road games this weekend, which is four straight on the road.
But they won't
Pepperdine is a stumbling block, right?
Yes, it absolutely could be. But they won't have gotten drained playing Loyola Marymount like they did playing Gonzaga, right? There won't be that kind of physical and mental letdown because you'll have beat Loyola Marymount by 15, 20 points. You know what I mean?
You hope so.
You will. Come on. Don't start getting all pessimistic. We beat Pacific. This team, Loyola Marymount's like Pacific, you know, Santa Clara. They're not even San Francisco.
Yeah, and that's true. And because I don't want to come off as like a total pessimist here, I do just want to go back and say this. That Gonzaga win was awesome.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun and showed you, I think, some of the potential this team has to play defense when they really get it going. Unfortunately, they have not been able to sustain the defense. So
Emery hit that three. That was
oh my gosh,
unbelievable.
It was awesome. And the way that Collinsworth just kind of controlled the pace of the game down the stretch was fantastic. So, Matt, let's preview the games for this week. Loyola Marymount is 9-9. They are, according to a lot of the rating systems, not even a top 200 team. They've got a few players that you'll recognize from having played them a couple times, but their best players, 6'8 forward, Adam Jacko, 14 points, 6 rebounds a game, blah, blah, blah. BYU wins by 15.
Yeah, I'm not worried about LMU.
Okay. So then we go to Pepperdine, Matt. They are 11-7. They are much more in the, you know, if you want to compare them quality-wise to some teams we've played so far this year, it would be more like a Harvard or a Belmont than Loyola Marymount. So a decent team, but probably not top 100 material either. They also have lost at Portland. Their best win, of course, is St. Mary's. And then, similar to us, they beat St. Mary's on a Thursday and then got beat by Santa Clara a few days later, had the big letdown. Their player to watch is the 6'5 combo forward guard, Lamon Murray, 15 points, 5 boards a game, 41% on threes, though he doesn't shoot it that much. Matt, percent chance we beat Pepperdine on the road?
I'm going to go ahead and say 60 to 65% chance here. I think that it's more likely we win this game or not. This was the game. I mean, maybe I just looked past Portland, but this is when we talk about the potential conference game that these guys could drop other than the St. Mary's or Gonzaga games. This one was towards the top of that list.
Yes, we have.
And it doesn't get pulled off just because we already dropped one to Portland. This game makes me nervous.
Yes, I think they're well coached. I think they're a decent team. I think this is the one we had circled, you and I, when we previewed the conference season. Mm-hmm. We talked about this particular game that at the road at Pepperdine. Like you said, Portland was not on the radar. I thought they would kill Portland. I still think when Portland comes to Provo, I don't think it will be a close game. But man, this Pepperdine game has me scared. I still say BYU by 8. And I say 75% chance they win.
I'm going to stick with my 60 to 65, and I think it's a little closer than that. I'm going to go BYU by 3.
BYU by 3. Okay. Good for you, buddy. Let's go back to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
Andre Hutchins asks, that's at AC_Hutchins on Twitter, Cougs seem to have reverted to their small ball style as the season has progressed. More playing time for guards than bigs. Why, he asks, Matt. Why? In caps.
You got to go with what works. You got to go with what's working for this team and what's working chemistry wise and what they can, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to put the ball inside the hoop. And if they're scoring more points that way, you just have to roll with it. I know we all want to see a different style. We all want to see some of these other guys get in there, but if the combination isn't working, you've got to do something different.
All right. So let's go through, Matt. Who's the best player on BYU's team?
Kyle Collinsworth.
Easy, right? Who's the second best player on BYU's team? That's a little harder for me.
That one gets a little bit harder.
I take Kyle Davis as the second best player.
See, I was going to go Chase Fisher, then
okay,
Kyle Davis.
So we'd flip-flop our 2 and 3, because I'd have Chase Fisher as 3. Then it's Emery next, right? That's 4.
Yep.
Seljaas is 5?
Yeah, I'd say Seljaas is 5.
Okay, how many of those guys is a post player? Those top 5. One of them. Okay. What you said is absolutely true. The best 6 players on this team, of the best 5 players, I'm sorry, on this team, one of them is a post player. Now, after that, it gets hard to say who's the best. I think Kafusi should play more. I think it was a mistake that he's played less lately. And I think his defense... I mean, you're not going to run the offense through him, but he can rebound and stuff. But the big problem has been, Matt, Jamal Ates is not what we thought he was going to be.
No.
He looks lost out there. Like on defense, it always seems like he doesn't know where he's supposed to be, if it's the matchup zone. Austin has been limited, I think, physically, though I think he's done a decent job in conference play. He's come on a little better. But still, Matt, that's your best five, and your sixth best player, I'm going to say, is Kafusi. Would you agree with me, or do you think it's somebody else?
You know, I think when you get to seven and out, I think you get a stretch of three or four players which is a pick 'em.
Well, we thought this team was going to be deep, Matt. They're not deep.
No.
Not now. I mean, that can change. Some of these young guys may come along and practice. Chapman, for example, is a guy that I think will get better. I think Eights, I just don't know. He just hasn't shown signs to me where I think he's getting better. So to your point, he's just playing who's scoring and defending. Really, yeah. Kind of comes down to that. Nothing more fancy than that.
Yeah, you don't have to make it harder than it needs to be.
No, you do not. No, you do not. So Matt, we've got another tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
This is from Will Rankin on Twitter. That's at Will Rankin 89. We have shown we can beat or lose to anyone in the WCC. So how do you feel about our chances to win the tournament in Vegas? Matt, if you had to pick today, if we played the tournament today, do you give BYU a better than 1-3 chance of winning the conference tournament?
Better than 1-3? No.
Yes. I do.
Oh, you're crazy.
I'm not.
You've got
crazy.
Craziness. No. You drank the crazy juice.
I that may be true. Gonzaga, they are not great on the perimeter like they have been historically. And St. Mary's, I think, is a paper tiger. I don't think they're that good. I just don't think they're that good. I think we will look back on that St. Mary's first loss and go, we should have beat those guys. That's kind of how I'm viewing it right now.
I'm not sold on it yet. I think you beat St. Mary's at home. You know, I think you probably beat Gonzaga at home. But we've not historically, and I know that the performance in 2011 has nothing to do with this team, and I'm just picking a random year. But we don't do well in conference tournaments.
That is true. We have not won a conference tournament since... When was the last time we won a conference tournament?
Is it 2003?
I was going to say 2001.
I think it is 2000.
I think it's 2001. Let me see here. There's a list out there on the internet. You may have heard of this thing. It's called the internet. You can look up all sorts of stuff. I believe it is a Steve Cleveland coached 2001 squad. You know, that we got a regular season conference title with several times since then, both Steve Cleveland and Dave Rose, but we have not done well. I'm not so worried about that. To me, the difference, quite frankly, is the quality at the top, right? You look at Gonzaga, they are not the team that they have been before. And St. Mary's is not necessarily as good as, say, they were a few years ago.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not really – maybe 1-3 is high, but I don't think it's really that ridiculous.
I don't think it's any better than 1-3. I don't think that this squad today has any better of a chance of winning that conference tournament than St. Mary's or Gonzaga, because it's going to be one of those three teams.
Yes, it'll be one of those three teams. So Matt, interesting question was posed on BYU Sports Nation today on their show. They had their Twitter question was more likely a WCC title, either regular season or tournament, for the men's basketball team, or a top 25 ranking for, and they meant at the end of the year, end of the season, not breaking into the top 25 at any point, but ending the year top 25 team for the football team. Matt, which is more likely, a WCC title for men's basketball or an end of the season top 25 ranking for football?
Well, I think there was some discussion of this with Blaine Fowler. Is this a conference tournament championship or a conference championship?
Both. Either one. They win either one. They win a conference championship.
I'm going to go with the conference championship.
Oh, yeah. It's easy for me. All you have to do is get hot for 3 days. Right?
Right. And that was, I think, Jerem's point on their show today was that's hot for 3 days versus hot for, you know, every Saturday for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But the other thing is this, is that right now I'm more comfortable calling this for the basketball team because it's tangible. It's right in front of me. I know what that looks like. I think we've got a pretty good shot of winning both of those games at home. And theoretically, we ought to be able to handle all of our other conference opponents. And so, you know, you get to that point, you need Gonzaga to drop another one. You need maybe St. Mary's to beat Gonzaga. You need a little bit of help. But with the football team, I think there's a lot up in the air, and that's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, they discussed on BYU Sports Nation today, Matt, about whether 9 wins gets you into the top 25. I think that is a stretch to get in with 9 wins. I think you need 10 wins to get in, unless the schedule is even better than we think it's going to be. Because there's some teams that are name teams that I think are going to be kind of mediocre, that at the end of the year it'll be like this year that, wow, you beat Nebraska, but who cares? They were 6-7. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that there's some very, like Arizona, for example, I think is one of those teams right off the bat. If they get 10 wins, I think they're ranked, though, with that schedule at the end of the season. Now, again, the timing of this, to maximize this, you need to win your bowl game, right? One of those 10 needs to be the bowl game to kind of not ensure it, but it makes it a lot more likely, Matt. But I'm with you. It's a lot easier to get hot for a few days or to even win the regular season championship at this point because you're in third place and all you need is, you know, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and so, I mean, St. Mary's has already slipped to somebody they shouldn't have lost to, right?
Yep.
They're as capable, I think, as us of dropping one of those games. So, Matt, we are now going to do something that we haven't done in a month or so, but we're going to play the game we like to call Answering Machine.
Answering Machine!
I will explain it in a confusing fashion that will make no sense.
Hideous.
It will be terrible. And then we will play it anyway, and you will all understand how it works just because of how we play it. So how it works is one of us calls the other, who is a fake person that we are going to name, and then that person leaves a message on the fake person's answering machine.
They're not fake people. They're actual people.
Well, they're actual people, but we're pretending to be them. So that's the fakeness. How did I do this time? People were disappointed.
It's not your worst. And I don't know if that's good or bad at this point, right? Because it's like you're trying to not really explain what we're about to do.
No, I'm trying.
I think you're setting out to intentionally make it confusing now because you think it's funny.
No. I just don't write it out ahead of time. Like, if I wanted to do this and do it well, I would write it out ahead of time. I just think it's fun to not write it out ahead of time and say whatever comes to my noggin. Last time I explained it, everyone was very disappointed because I explained it actually quite well, and it made sense. But I've got about a 1 in 10 chance of actually being able to pull that off without writing it out ahead of time.
In your defense, I mean, it is super confusing.
Yeah. Thank you for the backhanded, sarcastic compliment.
No problem. No problem, Bob. That's what I'm here for.
That is what you're here for. That actually is your job title. Matt, I am going to call you first.
Okay, I actually understand what's about to happen.
All right. Beep, 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 beep. Ring.
Hello, you've reached the cell phone of Tom Homo, athletic director at Brigham Young University. I can't come to my phone right now because I'm busy trying to line up just one more out-of-conference basketball opponent for next year's season. But if you leave a message, I'll call you back as soon as I get a chance. Thanks. Bye. Beep.
Hey, Tom, Adam Mangum from the Rise and Shout podcast. I know you listen to us every week, and I'm pretty sure that one of those 5-star reviews on iTunes is actually from you. Thanks, Tom. We really appreciate it. I just wanted to tell you you're doing a great job. Really enjoy the hiring of Kalani Sitake, and his staff looks great. I am really excited about both the BYU football and men's basketball, as well as some of the other sports, are doing great. I do have to say, I wish you had basically just like called out Voldemort, Coach Voldemort, and basically just hashed him to pieces. But you know, you're smart, because you just sat back and let the rest of the nation hash him to pieces, which actually has been sweeter and even better than that. But thanks, Tom, for all that you do, and you know, give a shout out to the Rise to Shop podcast sometime in public, actually often. That'd be great. Thanks, bye bye.
Your thanks, bye-bye there at the end was nice. That was a nice touch. I think he'll appreciate that.
Yeah, he'll love it. He'll really like it. I'm sure Tom listens. I mean, who doesn't?
I have no reason to believe that he doesn't listen.
That is correct. The evidence we have that he does or doesn't is the same.
That's correct. That's a slightly less exciting way to put it, but that's fine.
I try to bring the excitement down. That's my job title. All right, Matt, call me.
Call me maybe. Boop, 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 boop. Ring, ring. Ring, hello. Ring.
Hello. You've reached the answering machine of Coach Voldemort. I am busy dashing 100-year-old rivalries and out-scheduling Snow College instead. Leave me a message if you dare. I have a hard time controlling my temper. Bye-bye.
I do dare to leave a message, and I promise that no people or animals will be harmed in the leaving of this message. But Coach, listen, if you're gonna try and get all Pac-12-y and big time BYU, like, then just be a man about it and just cancel the game. It doesn't have to be a moral statement, because guess what? That whole thing just looks crazy now. Everyone thinks you're stupid, and I have no reason, at least before this, to want people to think that you're stupid. But now I feel like I just want people to know that you are, and that that was a really, really lame decision. But that being said, I do think you make a really important point. I don't care if we ever play you in any other sport again, because this drama and all of this weirdness around what's supposed to just be fun is getting tedious. So thanks. No thanks. And I hope that we never play you in anything again. All right. Yeah. See you. Bye.
So Matt, the Boston Globe jumped on the bandwagon today, or that maybe that article came out yesterday, basically calling him out. And I loved on Sports Nation that Fowler, Blaine Fowler, let out that he was talking to Steve Fisher, who's got to be one of the nicest guys in college basketball, right? Super nice guy. Everybody loves him. And he said how lame it was. You know what I mean?
The whole thing just doesn't even make any sense. It's just the whole situation is just bizarre.
It is.
It's another, the chapters of late in this rivalry are just gotten so strange.
But you know what the best part about it is, Matt? All of the attention had been on Nick Emery's punch, right? And is BYU a dirty program? Is BYU a dirty school? Which is ridiculous, right? Like, there'd be some connection between the basketball and football teams, by the way, right? There isn't. But
what do you mean? When I was in high school, it was a lot of the same kids, and they were all friends.
Right, right, right. In high school. So all that said, the best part about this is right now, the University of Utah looks like the biggest group of pansies in college sports.
Isn't that funny? He took a situation where, like, all he had to do was just sit back and let everybody point fingers at BYU, and then he somehow has made himself the not nice word that I'm not sure I can say on this podcast of the whole situation. Like, how did he flip that? How did he leverage that into this?
It's really
a stroke of genius in a way.
Someday there will be like a Harvard business case written about how poorly the University of Utah has managed this and how doubling down on it after everyone starts calling you out is probably not the way to go.
Oh, that was the best. That's the best.
I mean, everyone
you gotta love somebody double down on a real giant, well, I don't know, giant, but a stupid mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, so anyway, if we had his personal cell phone number, I probably would give it out.
See, so people could. I do feel like that crosses a line.
I don't know. He is Coach Voldemort. I mean, he tried to kill Harry Potter, for heaven's sakes, multiple times. I'm just saying. He showed up.
I think you're getting the plot lines confused now.
That's highly possible. By the way, Matt, shout out passed away in the last week, Alan Rickman, who plays Professor Snape, but more importantly, plays the bad guy in Die Hard. Awesome.
Greatest, one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time.
And one of the best villains of all time. He plays the Sheriff of Nottingham in that Robin Hood movie where Kevin Costner sometimes speaks with a British accent.
That was a great role.
That he is, if you watch that back as an adult, I did not get how vile that he was as a villain. I mean, he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't think of that Star Trek spoof right now. It's one of my favorite movies.
Starship Troopers.
No, Starship Troopers. You're ridiculous. if only there was some way I could look up all the movies that Alan Rickman has.
Well, he's like the Klingon, like the fake Klingon looking thing in that movie.
He's like the fake Galaxy Quest. He's more like the fake Vulcan. Like Spock.
Yeah, but he's got that weird thing on his head.
Yeah, he does have the weird thing on his head.
I guess is technically part of his head.
Yes. Thank you for being anti-alien. Nice job, buddy. Just to be clear,
you're talking about aliens from other planets.
That is
correct. Aliens from other countries, I don't have an issue with.
No, you're very pro-aliens.
There we go.
From other countries. But Galaxy Quest is a terrific movie. Is that... Are you a fan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know nearly as much about it, nor can I draw some of the parallels you did. I still feel like he was a fake Vulcan, a fake Klingon. See, I don't even know.
See, you don't even know what you're talking about.
And aren't we like, isn't it like Ghostbusters? Aren't we crossing streams there? Because I'm saying you're talking about the old or the new Star Trek, or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about. But so we'll end it this way, Matt. By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warven, you shall be avenged in honor of Alan Rickman. You have no idea what I'm talking about, but other people will. Thank you for downloading and listening. Next week, we will do our halfway through the conference season report cards, so tune in for that. And scheduled for the podcast, Jay Drew of the Salt Lake Tribune should be joining us if we don't have any issues between now and then. Thank you for downloading and listening. Check us out on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. On Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Did you know what by Grabthar's hammer?
I saw it on Twitter. I would have gone with the I'm going to dig your heart out with a spoon. Because it's going to hurt more, that whole segment.
All right, that's better. We should have done that. That's pretty good.